Well, we are continuing in our series, The Fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Today, we're talking about one that we've all been eager to get to, patience. Any patient people here? Any impatient people here? Yes. I mean, I think I'm quite patient in some areas of my life. But patience, two Greek words, and this is the only Greek words you'll get this morning, about patience, hupomono, means remaining under, bearing up under a burden. So when things are heavy upon us, that we are bearing up. The other one is macrothumia. There's a word. Macrothumia, which is used in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, when it mentions the fruit of the spirit of patience, means broken up. Macro or macros, meaning long. Long. Thumos, meaning passion or temper. So it is long-tempered. It is a long temper. Some people, I'm sure we've all met, have had short tempers who just fly off the handle, who just, God, I want it now. God, what are you doing? And so patience, in Galatians 5, talking about that long temper and a sense of holding one's temper for a long time. Just that, not going to just respond quickly. The difficulty is with patience is that we live in a fast-paced world. We are being conditioned, I think, to have everything now. Patience. In my Bible, if you look up the back under the word patience, it says the power or capacity to endure without complaint something difficult or disagreeable. It is long-suffering. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. James chapter 5 and verse 10 says, for examples of patience and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. So we want to know and see examples of patience. What does patience look like in someone's life? We can go to the Bible, go to the Old Testament and the New, and see examples of men and women. Job. He was able to endure and persevere, even though he lost everything. You know, everything was coming against him, but he did not give up. He had the fruit of patience in his life. He trusted God. Job was trusting. Joseph had his dream. His brothers would bow before him. His father and mother would bow before him. And he was thrown into a prison or a pit. And then he was lifted out of the pit and put in prison before he reached the palace. And he brought salvation for God's people. A length of time between the dream and the vision and the outworking of that. And God has put dreams and hopes and visions within us. I hope he has. Chuck Swindoll, in his book, Laugh Again, writes this. How could any man be as patient as he was, talking about Jesus? How could he keep his cool under constant fire? How could he demonstrate so much grace, so much compassion, and at the same time, so much determination? And when faced with the Pharisees continuing badgering and baiting, How could he restrain himself from punching the lights out? As a man, he had all the emotions we have as human beings. What was it that gave him the edge we so often lack? It was his attitude. His attitude to what was coming against him. And I believe that is something that we need to look at as well. Our attitude. George Horn says this about patience. He says, patience strengthens the spirit, sweetens the temper, stifles anger, extinguishes envy, subdues pride, bridles the tongue, restrains the hand, and tramples on temptation. In other words, it's the key to being like Jesus. He goes on to say, the present is never the end of a story. No matter how discouraging it seems now, God will have the final word. And we can wait for the victorious word if we let the Holy Spirit produce in us the fruit of patience. The Christian life is a process. It's not an event. I love the events. I love the times of great worship and praying and the Holy Spirit filling my life. But you know, as we walk out after that event, we have to walk out what God has been doing in us, what God wants to do in us. It is a process in our lives, and patience is part of that process. Hebrews chapter 11, reading from 11, verse 11. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old, she believed. Although she was barren and was too old, she believed that God would keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this one man, Abraham, who was as good as dead. A nation with so many people that, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. You know, a bit later on, in Genesis 15, the word came to Abraham from God that says, do not be afraid, Abraham, I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I am childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Elijah of Damascus, someone else. Abraham said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. And he took him outside and said, look up at the sky. Count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And again, Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. And the word of God was to Abraham, do not be afraid. You know, in our lives, there is many things that we face that bring fear, that we cause us to be afraid. And God's word to us today is, do not be afraid. I am your shield. I am your great reward. Abraham is thinking about his future, what is going to happen, who's going to carry on the family name. Everything was looking impossible, hopeless for the promises of God in Abraham's life. He was seeing, if he looked in the physical, it's not going to happen. But God changed his perspective. God caused him to look from himself to the God who is able. God is wanting to build something into us, despite what is happening to us. Do you believe it? Do you want it? You know, when we can't understand God, when we can't understand what he's doing, or impatience is threatening to overwhelm us, God wants us to trust him. Do you know, between the promise and when they had a son, I think the scholars say 25 years. But it's in the waiting, I believe, God builds in that trust. I believe there's many people that have missed out because they've just walked away. I know some people who actually walked away. A moment, someone once says, a moment of patience can keep you from a lifetime of regret. Sarah, you're going to have a child. Well, look at my body. There is no way I'm going to have a child. But she came up with an idea. She could use someone else. And she got her servant. And she asked her. And asked her husband, well, why don't you sleep with Hagar? And you produce an offspring. It's not happening. So let's make it happen. Let's make it happen. Let's make it happen. And a son was born. But not the one that God had purposed for Abraham and Sarah. God still blessed. Some lessons for us. Quickly. Some lessons. And I want you to be just listening. And I want you to be asking God, what is one thing that I need to take out? Don't try and remember the whole sermon. Don't try and remember the whole sermon. But listen and ask God, God, what is one thing I need to take away today? It could be a phrase, it could be a sentence. But some lessons for us that we can learn from the story of Abraham and Sarah. That when she did eventually have a son, trust God, even if it's taking a long time. I bet you were waiting for that. Trust God, even if it's taking a long time. Well, Stephen, how long is long? I wish I could give you the answer. How long is long? Some of us have been waiting for God to do something, waiting to see something for a long time. Trust God, even if it's taking a long time. Second one, trust God, even if it seems ridiculous. How many of us have been in a time when God's told us to do something and we thought, surely this is not God. Surely this is not God. Do you know, in Genesis 18, when the angels came and says to Abraham, this is what it says, then one of them said, I will return to you about this time next year and your wife Sarah will have a son. Sarah was listening to the conversation from a tent. Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time. Sarah was long past the age of having children. And so she laughed silently to herself and said, how could a worn-out woman like me enjoy such pleasure, especially when my master, my husband, is also so old? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, can an old woman like me have a baby? And here's the reason, the answer, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return about this time next year and Sarah will have a son. Is anything too hard for the Lord? When trust God, even when it seems ridiculous. Because God is doing more in us and through us than we could ever ask or imagine. I am worn out. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Next lesson. Don't try and get ahead of God when he isn't moving fast enough for you. I did, and I paid the price. Don't try and get ahead of God when he isn't moving fast enough for you. Don't make decisions out of your impatience. You know, one of the things I am now discovering is Annette can walk quicker than I. And I can, when I'm out walking with her, I can sense a frustration. Keep up, Stephen. Goodness me. I'm like, whew. And she's away. Come on, Stephen. And I thought, well, I'll maybe start running, and I'll just run by her. But for many of us, don't try and run ahead when God isn't, seems to be not moving fast enough for us. 2 Peter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being, wow, patient for your sake. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promises, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. I just love that. He's being patient for our sake. Why? Because he knows who we can be in him. In this world, our neighbors need men and women who have a trust in God, who have a patience, who have a belief that God is able. Do you know, when our neighbors tell us the things that are going on in their life, that we can say, well, do you know, for me, I trust God. I am trusting in God. I have seen God come through, and I will see him come through for me again. And I believe he can come through for you. And then just lead your neighbor to Jesus. The middle is hard sometimes. The secret to patience is knowing what to do in the meantime. And here's a key. Here's a key. Psalm 37. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Here's a word for someone. Slow down. It can be speaking to you about your driving as well. Slow down. Practice slowing down. Listen. Be silent. You know, shut everything off. Try it. And just sit in the silence. And that is also part of our worship. We are living in a fast-paced world, busy world. As soon as I go into my car, the music's on. As soon as I'm home, the music's on. The books are out. We have to train ourselves to slow down. Simon Garfunkel tells you that as well. Slow down. You're moving too fast. Next lesson. When you are waiting, focus on what God is wanting to do in you, not what is happening around you or to you. Ask God, God, what do I need to learn from this? What do I need to learn? Next one, and we're nearly done. Even our very best cannot compare to anything God has in mind for us. Wow. Next one. don't know if it's up there. Trust God. Trust his plan. This is a message that you need to hear today. Will you trust him? Will you trust him with your family situation? Will you trust him with your health situation? Will you trust him with your job situation? Will you trust him with your financial situation? He has something in store for you far above what you can ask or imagine, because he is God and he is our loving heavenly Father. The key is to surrender to him. And the next one, and and it never moved. It never moved. And push. You will hear these words soon, Fonny. Matthew, you'll see Fonny in a different light. Push. A man was sleeping one night in his house when suddenly his room was filled with light and God appeared. The Lord told the man he had work for him to do, and he showed him a large rock in front of his house. The Lord explained that the man was to push against the rock with all his might. So the man did what God had told him to do, and he did it day after day. And for many years he toiled from sunup to sundown. He set his hands in that rock, his shoulders set squarely, and the massive surface of the unmoving rock, pushing with all his might. And each night, the man returned to his house sore and worn out, feeling that his whole day had been spent in vain. Since the man was showing discouragement, the adversary, Satan, decided to enter the picture by placing thoughts into the weary mind. You've been pushing against this rock for such a long time. It's not moved. Give up. He gave the man the impression that the task was certainly impossible and that he would indeed, the task would be a failure. And so these thoughts discouraged and disheartened the man. Satan says, why kill yourself over this? Just give minimum effort. You'll not be as tired. That will be good enough. So that's what the weary man planned to do, but decided to make it a matter of prayer and took his troubled thoughts to the Lord. Lord God, he said, I have labored long and hard in your service, putting all my strength to do what you have asked me to do. Yet after all this time, I have not even budged the rock by half a millimeter. What is wrong? Why am I failing? And the Lord responded compassionately, my friend, when I asked you to serve me and you accepted, I told you that your task was to push against the rock with all your strength, which you have done. Never once did I mention to you that I expected you to move it. Your task was to push. And now you come to me with your strength spent, thinking that you have failed, but is that really so? Look at yourself. Your arms are strong, and you have grown in strength. Through opposition, you have grown much, and your abilities now surpass that which you used to have. True, you haven't moved the rock, but your calling was to be obedient, to push, and to exercise faith and trust in my wisdom, and that you have done. And now, my friend, I will move the rock. At times, when we hear a word from God, we tend to use our own intellect to decipher what God wants, when actually God wants us just a simple obedience and faith in him. When everything seems to go wrong, push. When you're facing problems, push. When people don't treat you the way you should, or they should, Push. When your money is gone and your bills are due, push. When people just don't understand you, push. Push. P-U-S-H. Pray until something happens. You could also put in there, persevere until something happens. Let me tell you, when we hear a word from God and we push, you know, do what God is telling you to do, and He will do what He can do. So my final word is, will you come before God and be patient in the waiting and trust Him that His plans and His purposes are far bigger than we could ever ask or imagine? Come on, let's stand.